Welcome back to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore. You can contact me anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977. We're here every Saturday morning on News Talk 870. We always like to start off by thanking John and the radio station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Well, busy like you guys, but in a different way.
Okay, I can understand that. And thank you. Last week, we had to run that encore show. It's just, you get to a point in time where Tom and I both called each other and we're like, it is crazy busy right now, and this just isn't going to happen.
Well, so, until you figured out how to clone yourselves, we do that.
Yes, that is absolutely the case. And that's just one of those things, especially in our business, when you look at the spring market and people being off on Saturdays and Sundays, and sometimes we just got to jam it all in there and make it work. And last week was truly one of those weeks. So thanks for backing us up on that, John. And Of course, in the studio, our resident in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne. Tom, how are you?
You know, Lance, I am doing fantastic. And again, thanks to the listeners for letting us run that encore. It was much needed to be able to get in the office and hammer out some deals. So
yeah,
incredible market right now, and we're staying busy.
Absolutely. And so we always like to start off with kind of our local real estate news story. And I always like to take our Tri-City Association of Realtors statistics from the previous month and take a look at exactly where that has us. And I tell you what, is it was really, really interesting because we had been talking about it. But when you see those numbers reflected, and it really is an indication of what you've been feeling. And that was, we're looking at once again, still last month and the end of the month, low inventory, still in the 800s. It was like 855 for number of active listings. Then you go ahead and look at the number of solds, closed homes sold, 325. What we're always calculating and looking at is number of months of supply of homes. If no new homes came on the market, how long would it take those 850 to sell? Right now, we're looking at a 2.4 month supply of homes.
Wow.
You know, Lance, I saw those numbers and I was looking at it, and the amount of homes that were on the market seemed to be the lowest it had been in several years. And then the number of sales that had occurred seemed to be the highest it had been in several years.
You're exactly right. In fact, the page that showed the previous 4 years, you're exactly right. It was the lowest number of inventory in the previous 4 years. We had to go back like 7 or 8 years to find that number.
Wow.
And then, like you said, the number that were under contract, so we talked about sold, 325. The number that were under contract, 478, will be an indication of the solds coming up this next month reflected in those solds. And we haven't seen under contract numbers like that since we had stimulus money and tax credits at the same time.
Wow.
And so that is going back a long ways to find that type of stuff happening in the market. So, you know, it's always just kind of a justification for the stuff we're talking about on the show. I'm so glad we've done our last couple shows over the last month and a half about multiple offers in this market, getting ready to sell in this market, taking advantage of that. And because it really, really applies to exactly what we're doing right now and dealing with those statistics. The next thing that we got to is we're going to talk a little bit today about exactly what happens when you're representing a buyer and how you can help in a market like this, because buyers are definitely going to need a lot of help in a market like that to make their dreams come true, meet their goals of what they're trying to do. Before we get to that, we always like to talk about our crazy celebrity real estate. And I tell you what, this week we go to Ventura, California, and we look at, is it a house or is it a church or is it a bed and breakfast? You could get all three of those for a lowly $1.9 million. Originally, this was St. John's Methodist Episcopal Church, and then the building was a Baptist and Pentecostal church. before falling into disrepair. When it fell into disrepair and one of the churches had moved out, a couple bought it back in 97, and they went through and just totally redid every inch of the building. And it's pretty impressive because it was built of redwood, 5,300 square foot structure, and they put six bedrooms in there. Five of those are guest rooms that they operated like a bed and breakfast, with their own bathrooms and fireplaces. So it's pretty interesting for sure. I'm not sure if I would say it's my cup of tea to purchase for a house, but it is definitely, definitely unique. You do not see something like that on the market every day. So back to our local market, Tom and I were talking before the show and what we needed to do, and we came up with, we've had quite a few people call this week. In fact, I took two calls this last week where somebody called in and said, hey, I have a question about this address. I saw it on Trulia. I saw it on Realtor.com. Could you... I want to check it out. It's the house I've been looking for. So I pulled that up on the computer, and in the market we're in, what did we find? Under contract. And the buyers were always like, oh man, I've been running into this a lot lately. I've looked in the newspaper, or I've looked on Craigslist, and now I've looked on Zillow or Trulia, and when I call, it's sold. And so we have a conversation, and I said, well, I tell you what, we have access to the multiple listing service, plus our sophisticated website and search engine that we're using for our buyers specifically, and we're updating that every 30 minutes to an hour so that you have up-to-date data. Can we help you with that search? And the gal's like, oh my gosh, that would be fantastic. How much does that cost? And for me to come in and have that consultation with you. And I said, well, on this side of the equation, it's going to be free to you, because on the buy side, when we help you find that property and we're acting as your buyer's agent, on the buy side, when we do that, our fee is going to be paid by the seller. And so on that side of the transaction, absolutely, that is something that upfront is not going to cost the buyer anything. And so both of these folks were shocked, and they're like, sign me up for that program. I had no idea. So, and we're getting them more accurate data and starting to get a picture of what they're looking for and what they want. And so I always bring the one of the first things we do at our appointments is I always go over people and talk to them, and I say, hey, here's what we're trying to accomplish with our home buyers, and it's our pledge at the Kenmore team to these home buyers. And that is, number one, to exclusively represent your interest, the home buyer. If you're on different sides of the equation, there's usually an agent that represents the seller, and there's somebody that represents the home buyer. And then you could have somebody representing a builder, or you could have somebody representing a lender. But our goal and our pledge is to represent your interests as the home buyer. Number two is we're always going to keep confidential your financial information and price intentions. And whenever available, we'll share with you the seller's motives. Part of our goal as a buyer's agent is to find out as much as we possibly can about why somebody's selling, what their goals and interests are, and how we can help you meet those needs and come together and have a meeting of the minds. Number three I put down was to counsel with you to determine the type and location of property that'll meet your needs. A lot of times when we talk things out with folks, we have options that they have not thought about before. Maybe they're looking in South Richland, but they can't quite get to that price point. And so we'll suggest a development that is maybe on the outskirts of South Richland, or maybe in West Richland, where you're having the same access and the same amenities, but you're just another 2.5 minutes further. Maybe you didn't look there before because you were concerned about school boundaries or where something medical services were. A lot of times we can offer you the knowledge of some of these developments that are just on the outskirts or a little bit different than you might have been thinking, and help people get into the right type of property. Number four that I wrote down there is to diligently search for the type and location of property that meets your needs. that's one of the beauties of having buyer representation. And it is further magnified in our team structure, the way that we're set up. We have specific buyer specialists. We've taken a lot of the traditional agent roles off of those buyer specialists so that they can meet this pledge. And that's to diligently search for the type and location of property that meets your needs. Our buyer specialists are not having to worry about contracts going to the lenders. They're not having to worry about coordinating contractors with inspection repairs on properties. They're not having to worry about rechecking those inspection repairs because we have other licensed agents that we've plugged into our model and made that their specific job so that your buyer's agent can be concerned about what you need, and that is finding you the right property. And in a market like we have right now, that property might not be in the multiple listing service. It might not be on Craigslist. It could be a for sale by owner that they drive by in a neighborhood you wanted to be at. It could be a new listing that we're still processing pictures on that hasn't hit the MLS yet. So there's a lot of things that these buyer's agents are able to do because we've taken a lot of the other responsibilities off of their plate. So that's a huge, huge bonus with our pledge to the home buyers. I also wrote down to point out the strengths and weaknesses of various properties. A lot of times people can be very enamored by a certain property and not see the power substation, you know, next door or not see that, you know, not see the fact that, you know, the area has 42% rental occupancy and you're buying a single family home. So there's a lot of these types of things that an agent will know about from being in the business that they can communicate to you as a buyer.
You know, Lance, I just had a situation come up where there was some bare land behind a house that a client purchased. And 3 months later, they start construction on an apartment complex.
Yes.
Directly behind the house.
Absolutely.
My clients weren't happy, unfortunately. So that's when it comes into play, you know, doing working with an experienced team like yourself of what is this going to turn into, or what's this bare land, the use for, the land use. And then you could start finding out what could possibly get built, and you decide if that's the house for you or not.
Yeah, and you bring up a great, great point. And people ask me all the time, and they say, you know, hey, gosh, there's this big chunk of bare land back here. What's that going to be? And I mean, you know, my standard line has always been that it's going to be a pork processing plant, even if we're in a residential area, because I always want to drive home the point of, if it's bare land right now, we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we can look up the ownership and try to figure that out. But that is something to really be aware of. And that is a very, very good point. And sometimes that local knowledge can really help out there. And then the last thing I wrote down was to negotiate exclusively on your behalf as the home buyer, the best possible purchase price, terms, and other pertinent conditions. And those other pertinent conditions can really come into play a lot of times, whether you're getting concessions, whether you're getting some sort of early occupancy or post-occupancy, or you're getting some repairs made on a property. Trying to help the buyer meet their needs and get the property is a big, big deal. And right now we're dealing with those multiple offers and we're dealing with making those offers strong. And so one of the biggest things that we have with that, and I'm excited when we come back after the break to talk about that, is we have Tom Coyne here with Umpqua, and he's going to talk to us about the lending side of things with the loan process. Right now is more important than ever. Twice this week, we had multiple offer situations where two or three offers on a property, and invariably, one of those three offers did not have a pre-approval letter. And that offer goes right out the window with the sellers. In most cases, the seller will be like, these two have pre-approval letters. Great. Let's set that other one aside. Both times that happened this week where the seller is like, if it's not with it and we're looking at all three of these, then we're not going to take a look at it. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how to make that happen with Tom Coyne and go from there.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking today about the buyer process, representing buyers in this market. A lot of buyers are out there. They're having troubles right now finding what they want. And when they do find what they want, getting it, because they're going under contract so quickly. So we're talking about how to represent those buyers properly in the best way with the Kenmore team, having them ready to make offers. And part of that process, a huge part of that process, is working with Tom at Umpqua. So, Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you. What are you doing right now in this market?
You know, Lance, you touched on it right before the break about being pre-approved and having your pre-approval already. And that is the very first step in the loan process. You know, I've had a couple clients ask me lately, why does it take 3 to 4 weeks to close a loan? And then I have to list out all the different steps. And I was thinking, we've never talked about this on a show before. So let's go through it. So what I wanted to chat today about is just all the different parts and the steps and processes we have to go through before we can close a loan. And that first one, and maybe the most important that actually will get you under contract on a house, is getting pre-approved. So I'm going to be reviewing the client's income documentation, their asset documentation for their bank accounts, and any other thing that needs to be addressed about their financial situation. And then we're going to discuss all the different financing options. We're going to line up their expectations with what their needs are, whether if they want to $1,500 house payment, we identify what sales price range you should be looking at, and we'll know exactly how much the down payment's going to be. We'll know if we need sellers to pay closing costs or not, and we'll just identify all the different options for the clients. Then we issue that a pre-approval letter, and they're free to go out and shop for a house. I always recommend get your pre-approval done well before you ever think you're going to be buying a house. Because if you call on Sunday at 7 o'clock at night and you're ready to write an offer on a house and you haven't even started the pre-approval process, you're not going to be able to get your application done, get all your tax returns, pay stubs, bank statements, everything over to me. And with the market the way it is, like Lance said, the offers that don't have pre-approval letters are most of the time not even being taken seriously. So I can't stress enough, get that pre-approval done. Now, let's say you find a house, you go under contract, and you come to terms with the seller. That's when we're ready to begin processing the actual loan. We're going to have you come back in, and we're going to look to lock an interest rate in. Now, when I say lock an interest rate in, that means we're going to guarantee that rate through closing, so we don't have to worry about fluctuations with the market. And then we actually start processing. Now, if that application, there was a documentation that we didn't have or we weren't completely ready, we'll have you bring all the rest of that documentation in at that time. Then I take that package, and Lance was talking about how his team specializes and everyone has a different role, and that just makes things as efficient as possible. We do the exact same thing. I'm going to hand that file off to our gal who orders out files. Her name's Becca. She's great. She'll be the one that answers calls if you ever call the office. But what her job is to identify where's title and escrow supposed to be set up at. She gets all of our lender information to them. She'll go ahead and order the appraisal. If the inspection has been completed, we'll generally try to wait to order the appraisal until the inspection's been done and any concerns there address. Then she'll also round up all the verification employments, verification deposits on your bank accounts that are required on most transactions. We have to get social security number verifications, IRS transcripts, and any other documentation that's specific for, say, government loans like FHA or VA. Lastly, we're going to get the insurance binder ordered and the flood certification. So these are all different pieces that we have to send out to third-party companies and wait for them to do their part so we can continue doing our part. Then our order out gal passes that off to our processing team. They're going to be waiting for all that documentation to come in and at the same time reviewing that file to see if there's anything else that we could possibly need before we go to underwriting. Now, when we send a file to underwriting, our goal is we come out with no conditions, and we call those one and done. We send it out. The underwriter says, great, thanks for the great file. You're ready to close. And we see those a lot. But most of the time, it's going to come out with maybe one or two conditions. So after the underwriter reviews it, we're going to go and round up the documentation. The underwriter is ultimately the one responsible to make sure that client fits into those guidelines for that loan program and make sure all the documentation's there that's required per that loan program. And they're the ones that give us the final say that say, yes, this loan is ready to close. Now, after reviewing that and clearing final underwriting, we then hand the loan over to our doc draw team. Their job is to make sure all the required disclosures and documents are prepared for that specific loan program. It generally takes a day or so out of getting out of underwriting that loan documents are sent to the escrow company. Now, escrow is where you're going to sign all your final paperwork, and the seller signs there. They help transfer ownership into the new buyer's name. Once you sign those documents, all those documents are then sent back to us, and we review them to make sure everything's signed, it's all there, it was done accurately, and we're ready to actually close the loan. Now, in that process, we're also having escrow prepare what's called a HUD settlement statement. Now, the HUD settlement statement is going to break down all the charges for both the buyer and the seller. It lists out any credits, any deposits, and we're going to make sure we balance that and approve it. And that's what allows escrow to make sure they're getting funds to everyone it needs to go to. And once we receive that funding package, we're ready to close the loan, and we'll fund it. That's when the loan money is actually sent to the escrow company. And then they take that and they have to start dispersing it to all these different parties in the transaction. So that's going to be the seller, the seller's bank or the previous lien holder, the appraiser, the title escrow company gets paid. Maybe you had to do some specialized inspections, the real estate agents.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget them.
Yeah. So Lance's team gets paid.
I like to get paid from them. Yes.
So really anyone who performed a service in that transaction. And then once all that's done, they go down to the county and record the deed of trust. That's when the house is officially yours. So there is a ton of moving parts. And, you know, I was talking to Lance just a second ago. You kind of forget how much you have to do to get a loan from start to finish. But because there's so many different people in a transaction, that's why it can take those 3 to 4 weeks to close.
Absolutely. And that's good information, Tom. Now, in the beginning of that, too, you said that when someone submits for a pre-approval, you will review their credit and their income. That means you're actually looking over those documents and seeing what's there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that's super important to me and that I have just a strong reputation for, I feel like, is that when I give that a pre-approval letter out, everyone in the transaction knows that deal's going to close. And so we want to be really confident that when we give the pre-approval letter out that there's not going to be any problems down the road. Now, I always try to stress to the clients, let's get everything up front before you find that house. And so we're going to get tax returns, bank statements, pay subs, review it all, and then that approval letter goes out. So that when the time comes that you find a house, we already have everything we need and we're ready to move forward.
Yeah, folks, and I got to tell you, this is a big, big deal. And people don't realize it. People get irritated and they get mad when they lose out on houses and it gets emotional. But here's a great scenario for you. House listed for $150,000, two offers. They're the exact same offer, the exact same closing date, and they're the exact same terms. They have two different pre-approval letters. So what are we looking at trying to decide which offer is the best offer? We go to the pre-approval letter. If we have a pre-approval letter that is from Tom Coyne at Umpqua, and it says he's reviewed assets, credit, and everything else, and we have a pre-approval letter from ABC Mortgage in Rancho Cucamonga, and it says that thank you for verbally providing information on the phone. We think you're okay. Here's your pre-approval.
Which you're going to feel safer with, right?
The seller's going to ask my advice, and the seller's going to look at it and say, oh, this person's reviewed credit and income and assets, and this other person just took their word for it on the phone. Folks, it's not a joke. Like, you think I'm making this stuff up? These are pre-approval letters that I've gotten in the last 2 weeks, you know, that say, thanks, we've had a conversation with you on the phone and you're pre-approved based upon what you sent. That is not the decision maker when it comes right down to it and we're on the table negotiating. So you really want to pay attention to that and know that a local trusted lender is going to carry a lot of weight when you're at that negotiating table. So,
you know, Lance,
small difference.
This last week, I had three transactions where an agent I work with calls me and says, Tom, this deal's falling apart with, I don't even want to name the names, but they're out of town, and can you save it? And it turned out one of them, we're reviewing it, they're the buyers of the loan that I was doing. So I had these clients, their docs were already at escrow, we're expecting to close, and the people who were buying their house, their loan fell apart. So fortunately, we were able to put it all back together and save it, but so much of that goes to sitting and meeting with someone in person, having them review your documentation, because it's a lot of stress that's put on you if your transaction starts going sideways midway through the process.
Absolutely. As always, we're about to run out of time. I didn't even get to all of my information. Real quickly, though, I want to pass out a quick pick three. I've got 98804 North Horn Rapids Drive, and this is an amazing estate property. Three bedrooms, four bath, 4,000 square feet, separate shop that just came back on the market for us, 2 acres, and that's priced at $499. And to get that shop and 4,000 square feet and what it is absolutely incredible. Pick number three, I've got some really good acreage properties this week. So if you're looking for a little more elbow room, pick number two here, 4004 West Argent in Pasco. This is on 2.5 fenced acres, 1560 square foot house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's got a 30-by-28 detached garage shop and another 25-by-14 outbuilding, and great, great pasture setup. And this is coming in there off of Argent in Pasco at $215,000. And then pick number three, I've got 6302 West First Avenue in Kennewick. This is right off of Kellogg and First. It is a 2,600 square feet rambler with a basement, 3-bedroom. 2-bath, 2 family rooms. So you've got one upstairs, plus you've got that great basement entertaining with a wet bar area. And then you're on 1 acre. So you're in that location right off of Clearwater and Kellogg on 1 acre. And that's coming in priced at $199.9.
Ooh.
So absolutely fabulous properties out there. Feel free to give us a call if you have any questions, or go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. It's a busy time of year. We're out there working with sellers and buyers, so give us a call. We would love to do a consultation and help out. Tom, how can people get a hold of you to get pre-approved right now?
Please feel free to give me a call anytime at the office, 783-7300.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.